Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. I want to welcome you, and to those watching online, welcome as well. My name is Dave Dillman. I'm a member of the preaching team and serve as one of your trustees here at High Point. We've been in the middle of a series called Pros and Cons of Discipleship. Now, when we say that, when we talk about the pros and cons, we're not talking about a list of do's and don'ts or something that's transactional, like you were deciding on whether or not to take the job or buy a house. The goal of this series is to help us understand what being a disciple is and to help us count the cost of what it means to follow Jesus. It is hard, and there is a great cost, but the reward of walking with Jesus is so much greater, and it's worth it. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be together, to share in songs, to share our hearts with you, to read your word and to glean from it. Lord, as we spend this time in your word, would you move in our hearts, tell us exactly what we need to hear. Guide my words, Lord, and if I say anything that is not of you, may it instantly be forgotten. But everything I say up here that is from you, let us not forget it. We ask, Lord, for your blessing on this time, and we thank you for every person in this room. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. So over the past few weeks, we've been looking at chapters 14 and 15 of Matthew, and we've seen the cost of being a disciple, but also the rewards of being a disciple. So today, we're going to be in chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. If you don't have your Bible with you, we do have Bibles on the back table. And if you don't own a personal Bible, we'd love to for you to take that home as our gift to you. We believe everyone should have access to the Word of God. So in our passage today, Jesus is going to be confronted by a group of Pharisees. And they're going to ask him, why aren't your disciples observing the traditions of the elders? But instead of giving them what they want, Jesus is going to turn and confront them on why they are placing tradition above the commands of God. Now, I wanted to point something out briefly before we read that the Pharisees come up a lot in the Gospels and in Matthew. But in a couple of weeks, we'll cover chapter 16, and there'll be another group that is mentioned called the Sadducees. And I just wanted to point out a couple of key differences in the groups. See, the Pharisees, they take their authority from both the written law, the Torah, the scriptures, and the oral tradition of their elders. Whereas the Sadducees took the authority only from the written law. Also, the Pharisees believed in the resurrection, and they did believe in angels and spirits, whereas the Sadducees didn't. So they were sad, you see. The reason I bring this up is that the Pharisees, ironically, believe it or not, are actually the closest of the religious groups in belief to Jesus' teaching, and I suspect that's why he has the most confrontation with them. So let's read, starting in verse 1, and we'll go through verse 9. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and mother. And whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God. So he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. So first, I want to get something out of the way first. This passage is not talking about hygiene. I hope no one leaves here thinking that I'm going to say, it's okay if you don't wash your hands before lunch, before meals. At High Point, we do endorse good health and hygiene. So yes, kids and adults, wash your hands before you eat lunch today. That's not what this passage is talking about. This idea of hand and foot washing was originally written in the law as a ritual purification, and it was mainly meant for the priests, because when they were about to go into the temple, the altar, the holy place, and offer their sacrifices, this was a way for them to present themselves as clean and holy before God. But what happened over time is that this became an oral tradition, and the Pharisees decided that to expand it so that all Jews must follow this. And washing hands and feet became connected, directly connected with being clean, with being holy, with being spiritually pure. And they're confronting Jesus because his disciples aren't observing the traditions. What they're doing is they're looking for a way to trap him. So basically, whether Jesus says, forget the traditions, or if Jesus admits, you're right, my disciples didn't follow the tradition, either way, he's discredited. So the Pharisees think they got him. This is not new. The Pharisees do this all throughout the New Testament, is try to trap Jesus because they don't like what he's teaching. And they don't like that he's getting all the attention and people are ignoring the Pharisees. They want to be the center of attention. But Jesus sees what's really going on. And he responds to them with his own question to confront their hypocrisy. So they're holding people. So what the Pharisees are doing, they're holding people to this tradition of hand washing to be fully and spiritually clean, yet at the same time, they're creating a loophole around the fifth commandment of God. Honor your father and mother is the fifth commandment and the Ten Commandments. They're giving people a loophole by saying, well, if you tell your parents that the resources I would use to take care of you, as is commanded by God, well, that money is going to God, so it's okay. Leaving their parents to fend for themselves. Pretty horrible. See, the Pharisees are more interested in earning honor and prestige among the people and being seen as righteous. They're more interested in external righteousness than internal righteousness. They want to look the part. They want to make sure that the people look to them for all spiritual guidance. And when Jesus quotes Isaiah, he's saying that not only are you getting around the command of God and you're making void and null the word of God, so their deliberate disregard, they're teaching their own traditions as if they were the commands of God. So they're adding to it with their own preferences, their own tradition. And what that does is it actually makes it more difficult for people to come to Jesus because they're putting up a gate. They're saying, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be seen as holy and clean, you have to do this list of things first. You have to observe all Jewish traditions first, making it more difficult for people to come to the Lord. And I have to ask this morning, church, are we in 2025 making it easier or more difficult for people to come to Jesus? See, I grew up in the church. I love everything that we do here. I love that we sing the songs. I love that we pray together. I love that we spend time in the Word. Those are beautiful things, and we should continue doing them. But as the Pharisees are doing, we should never elevate these traditions, these preferences above the Word of God. That's why anyone who claims to be a Christian, who claims to be a disciple, we need to stay in the Word, and we need to take the Word of God seriously so that we'll understand what the commands of God are. The more time we spend in the Word, the more we can authentically walk with Him, and the less our preferences will bleed in, because it'll be about God and His commands, not us and what we want. So after confronting the Pharisees, Jesus is going to call the crowds together and tell them, this is what actually makes a person clean or unclean. So let's read in verses 10 through 20. And he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Then the disciples came to him and said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, of course it's Peter, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what define a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. I love the fact that the disciples came to Jesus and said, do you realize the Pharisees are offended? Jesus is, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that I offended them. No. He says, look, they're going to do what they're going to do. They're not listening to God. So let them be. Anyone who wants to follow them, it'll be like the blind leading the blind. And so Jesus explains that true spiritual uncleanliness comes out of the heart. And Peter, bless his heart, he's thinking Jesus is teaching another parable. So he says, explain this. And so Jesus has to say, are you still without understanding? You've been with me this whole time. Do you still not see what I'm doing? The NIV translates it a little bit more harshly. Are you still so dull? And what Jesus is challenging when he's saying food goes into the mouth, passes into the stomach, and expelled, he's challenging this false idea that a ritualized tradition does not make a person spiritually clean, nor does eating with unwashed hands make a person spiritually unclean. See, the Pharisees were so afraid that if they came into physical contact with unclean food, or if they touched it with unclean hands, it would ruin them spiritually. And Jesus is making a clear distinction between what's physical and what's spiritual. Food is food. It's going to go in, our digestive system's going to do what it does, and it's going to pass out the other end. Happens to everyone. But Jesus isn't talking about physical food. He's talking about the food of the Spirit. And that the things in themselves, when they enter, do not automatically make us unclean, but until it comes out of our hearts. And that doesn't mean that we get to do whatever we want. That's not what this passage is saying. Because we have to be careful what we let into our lives. There's a lot of media out there, a lot of content, a lot of things to be absorbed. And if we let it in and we let it stay there, the stuff Jesus is talking about is going to come out of our hearts. The things he lists, sexual morality, theft, murder, adultery, false witness, slander, these are things of the heart. Remember earlier in Matthew, he said, you've heard it said, don't murder, but I'm telling you, don't have hate in your heart. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery, but I'm telling you, don't even have lust in your heart. So it's not enough to just not do the bad things and do the good things if our hearts are not right. So what ultimately matters is the intent of our hearts. And this is revealed by our words and actions. So think about what we've done today. We've sang beautiful songs. The worship was fantastic this morning. Would you agree? We sing the songs. We pray. Second service, we're going to have baby dedication. We're going to dedicate our children to the Lord. These are all beautiful things. But as each song is being sung, as you and I sang the words, where were our hearts? Were we just singing the words to sing them? Or were our hearts really, honestly, and earnestly trying to reach out to God? So what does this passage tell us about what it means to be a disciple? As we're looking into the pros and cons of discipleship. Well, first, Jesus' way is often hard and requires a greater sacrifice. See, being a Christian, being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus, it means giving up your preferences and submitting to his commands, even when they go against the world's standards. Jesus said to his disciples earlier in Matthew, I'm sending you as sheep among wolves. They hated me. They're going to hate you. It means that because of Christ, we'll be hated and rejected. We saw that a few weeks ago with John the Baptist, who tried to get King Herod to repent of his sin, and he lost his head for it. Anything that would make us look good, make us the center of attention, like the Pharisees were trying to do, or would cause a barrier to either ourselves or others, we need to let that go, because it's all about leading people to Jesus. And it is hard. But the good news is, even though it's difficult and requires a lot of us, Jesus doesn't leave us to fend for ourselves. See, a pro of discipleship is that there's greater freedom in following Christ. See, the Pharisees, they were trying to be righteous through their tradition and keeping the laws. But as Paul says, no one is righteous. The law was powerless to save us. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. We were left to carry the weight of our own guilt and shame. But through the cross, Jesus lightened our load by doing what the law was powerless to do. In Romans 8, 1 and 2, it says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Paul says the wages of sin is death. And no amount of good works, no amount of singing the right song, saying the right scriptures can change that. No amount of external things, while good in themselves, can reconcile the sin that's still in our hearts. See, following the world, being a disciple of the world, means you have multiple voices. Social media, news media, media, friends, family, people that tell you, no, this is how you should do it. This is what you have to do to be a Christian. There's all these voices, and it's hard to know who's telling the truth, who's being authentic. But to follow Christ, you have one voice, one consistent path. His love, his grace, his gospel, his message never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the world cannot promise that. Secondly, Jesus cleanses our hearts and purifies our souls. See, he teaches the people and the disciples what comes out of the heart is what defiles a person, which means that the heart has to be pure before our actions can be. But here's the thing. You and I can't do that ourselves. We can change behaviors, but we still have to wrestle with the evil in our heart, and we cannot purify our own hearts because eventually the evil's going to catch up with us. The good news is we know the one who can. By his blood on the cross, Jesus has washed away our sins and is the only one who can make us truly pure before God. Titus 4, 3 and 5 says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." See, we no longer have to carry the weight of our burden and sin. Being a disciple is difficult. Being a disciple costs a lot. We have to make a decision of who we stand with. Do we stand with the world or do we stand with Jesus? But in being a disciple, in giving up all those things, we have freedom because we can walk with Jesus and we don't have to worry about never measuring up because the rules keep changing. We never have to worry about measuring up because this person said this and this person said that. Who do I go with? We no longer have to carry that weight. We can serve Christ with a full and pure heart. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." In Christ, we are the righteousness of God. Not through our own righteous acts, there's nothing we can do. But in Christ, he became sin. He took on that penalty for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. Jesus makes our hearts pure, and out of a pure heart will come pure thoughts and actions. So now what? If you claim Christian, if you claim to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus, the questions to ask today, what do you need to let go of to fully follow Jesus? Your preferences, the traditions, again, they're great things. But if they get in the way of following Jesus, ask yourself, is Jesus that important to me that I can let this go? Also, whose voice are you listening to for wisdom and guidance? Will you continue to listen to Jesus and his word no matter what it costs? Because that's what it costs to be a disciple. Being a disciple is hard and does require great sacrifice, but it is worth it for the freedom in Christ that we have and the cleansing of our heart and soul that he brings. Discipleship is hard, but it's worth it.